As Detroit's troubles and dirty laundry are aired out on a worldwide stage, there's been plenty of finger-pointing and judging of the city's leaders, employees, retirees, and citizens. But a new analysis from Michigan State University suggests we might want to hold off on judging Detroit and take a look at other Michigan cities and towns. That MSU report finds communities all around Michigan face the very same mountain of legacy debt that toppled Detroit. Eric Scorsone is an economist with Michigan State University and is the study's co-author. And Eric, one of the fundamental truths of what we're about to discuss is the fact you cannot hang Detroit's problems on Kwame Kilpatrick or Coleman Young or other individual leaders. Really, so much of this is about unfunded pension and retiree health care debt, right?
Right. It's definitely a system problem that, you know, certainly many, many people have been involved in on both labor and management. So it can't really point to any one person per se.
So give us a sense and an understanding of how these costs have tanked Detroit's finances.
Sure. Well, in the case of Detroit, you know, these have been built up over many decades. Promises were made to people that when they retired, they would receive certain income and health care coverage. And if you think about it, you know, police and firefighters and so forth often retire before they're eligible for Medicare. And so these built up into essentially being hundreds of millions of dollars every year being paid out. And so as Detroit's economy shrunk, its tax base shrunk, you know, these promises, which may have seemed affordable 30, 40 years ago, were not affordable anymore. And so essentially, it's really what drove Detroit towards bankruptcy more than, you know, even traditional debt kinds of payments. And so that's kind of where Detroit is. And that's why so much discussion on this bankruptcy goes around, you know, retirees and what they're receiving and what's fair and so forth.
And so as the city goes more and more into the red, you start laying off workers, cutting back services, trying to raise taxes. And then people say, well, who wants to live here? We're moving. And then you have the add in the collapse in housing prices, and then you mix in a big cut in state municipal funding. So it really is a recipe for disaster. And your analysis finds that this scenario could be looming for many cities around Michigan?
Right. I mean, we looked at this is primarily a benefit that's been offered by mostly cities and villages, some counties, and then a few townships. And basically, yeah, we've actually, the total number of unfunded liabilities, and this is over a 30-year period, would be somewhere in $12 to $13 billion. And so that's a really enormous number. And you see small communities, mid-sized communities that owe lots of money relative to the size of their budget. And it's doing the same kinds of things as, you know, in the case of Detroit, they're having to either cut services or raise taxes, cut benefits, and really being forced to make very difficult choices, especially as the economy has continued to struggle.
And in all of this, we've certainly heard from it very vociferously in Detroit and in these, and I'm sure we will in other cities as well. The pensioners are the ones that did their bit. They put out the fires and they carried the trash and made the water run and then retired. So it is just, it's not their fault, if you will, is it, in any way?
Right. I don't think it's, at this point, you know, saying who's to blame, I mean, it probably goes everywhere. And I think the issue we have to address as a state, as local communities, and really as a country is, how do we compromise and figure out how to fix these problems? Because we made promises, and some of them may be unsustainable now.
Well, give us an idea, Eric Scorsone, of some of the cities in Michigan carrying the largest legacy costs.
Certainly there's the ones you might expect, Pontiac, Detroit, Flint, Saginaw, places where there was often a large manufacturing base. But you also see smaller communities, Essexville, for example, Kalkaska Village, which owes, I think it was in the range of $6 million in unfunded liability. It's only a $1 million budget. There are places in the Upper Peninsula, like Crystal Falls. There are places on the west side, such as, you know, Kalamazoo, and many Detroit suburbs. So it really varies across the state, both urban and rural. And so this is definitely not just sort of a Detroit problem.
And cities that would be considered even middle to upper class. I see Ann Arbor and Westland, for instance, on this list of largest legacy cost burdens in Michigan.
Yeah, I think that's why this Detroit discussion needs to be much broader. It has to be about, we all face these kinds of challenges. The state of Michigan itself faces these very same kinds of challenges with its retiree health care liability, I think, is in the billions by itself. So, I mean, it's a discussion we have to have, and it echoes the discussions we're having in the federal government around how to deal with our debt at that level. You know, it's really some of the same kinds of challenges, and I think we have to find ways. Hopefully we can find some solutions that will help those folks in Washington understand that there are ways to figure these problems out.
I'm speaking with Eric Scorsone of Michigan State University, who co-authored a report finding that cities all over Michigan face the very same mountain of legacy debt that pulled Detroit into bankruptcy. And as we talk about this, you say starting a conversation, Eric, with ideas. So what could be done to fix things before a city tips over the cliff the way Detroit does?
There's really a couple different things. One, you have to look at the benefit and what's being provided. Are there other ways to provide the benefits that are more least expensive and that really still provide some of the same level of coverage? It may require raising taxes. Some communities, especially maybe wealthier communities, may find that that's the solution. You know, they have the resources. Some communities, they've had to, you know, reduce services, and maybe some of those services weren't as needed. My guess is it's going to often be a combination of those things, and it's going to certainly vary by community. There's really no one solution. There may be a role for the state to play, and there's been some discussion of the state kind of helping out here, as other states do in other parts of the country. So we have to have that discussion, though. I think bottom line, we're trying to raise awareness so that that discussion can be based on the facts and based on, you know, working through our governance system.
There do seem to be accusatory fingers pointed at the city employee unions. Is there some blame to be ladled out at the folks who handled the pensions and ran the unions?
Well, I think, you know, at this point, blame is tough to say. I mean, I think obviously these agreements are made by both labor and management, so they both played a role in the process. At the same time, you know, in the 1960s, 70s, even maybe 1980s, these things may have seemed very affordable because we had a very large auto industry. We had a lot more wealth. And so, you know, you can't really blame people for saying, well, at that time they couldn't have imagined what was going to happen, especially if you're in a place like, say, Detroit or Flint.
Sure.
And so, you know, I think it's fair to say the state played a role because it set some of the policies that guided the process. And we didn't even account for this. This wasn't even on the balance sheet. So from an accounting perspective, leaders weren't even aware of what these costs were going to be. It was only until like 3 or 4 years ago this was even on the balance sheet of local governments. And so, you know, for a lot of reasons, this is why we're here today.
Yeah, and I say that statement as the daughter of a Ferndale fire captain who served the city of Ferndale from before World War II until 1983. So it's very much something that is impacting homes like the one I grew up in. And I'm wondering, what should city employees, state leaders, and city officials take away from the study you've done and the analysis you've done?
Well, I think there's two key things. One, we've got to work towards compromise and finding solutions that, you know, where everyone's going to share in maybe the sacrifice and find ways that these promises that were made, we can make them affordable and still, you know, meet our commitments to future generations. Because really it's going to be future generations that are going to be hit hard if we don't find solutions now. And the longer we wait, the worse it gets. And point two, we don't want this to happen again. So even while we're fixing the problem, you know, we need to make sure we don't make myopic decisions going forward. So we need to find ways to, as leaders, whether it's policy changes, so that when we make promises, we fund those promises, or we make sure we don't make promises that are unaffordable. And we make assumptions about the future where we're, you know, we should be conservative, you know, thinking that, you know, things may be different. So these are challenges because they affect, you know, the very way we think as human beings. But I think we want to make sure we don't get into this kind of problem in the future.
Eric Scorsone with Michigan State University, also former chief economist for the State Senate Fiscal Agency. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Eric. Thank you so much.
Thank you.